Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, I said praise the Lord, everybody. God has been good. God has been faithful. God has been so kind to each and every one of us. Such a sweet spirit in this place. And I'm thankful that the presence of the Lord is with us, God. I thank you. I first want to honor the Lord, who is the head of my life, to the angels of this house, Pastor Stevens and Miriam Lyons, for 14 years. Come on, y'all. 14 years. He's been faithful. He's been faithful. A lot of people don't make it 4 months, but 14 years through some dark moments, I'm pretty sure, through some rough times, through some heartaches, through people saying they were going to stay and then turn around and leave, and people said they were going to be faithful and then turned around and betrayed you. But through it all, 14 years, God has still been faithful to his word, to his promise, and he's never forgotten. He won't ever forget, and he won't ever leave you. So I honor my apostle, who's not here, Apostle Gloria Smith and Greater New Hope Christian Center. I honor my husband, who will be giving the word on today. He's been preaching and ministering for 17 years. And we've been married for 17 years, so you do the math. So, again, it's not been easy being married and then turn around a few months later and he's been called to preach. Yes, it ain't been easy, but it's been worth it. And God's been so faithful. So for 17 years, he's been preaching. He says to the jungle, he goes after those who people don't want. He goes after those who are dirty, who are muddy, feel like that there's no hope for them. And he always quotes every Sunday and every Thursday, as long as there is breath in your body, there is hope for your situation. And so I believe that for each and every person that's in this place, they are going to receive an on-time word. He is the associate pastor of Greater New Hope Christian Center. He is also the pastor of Greater New Hope's Mighty Man for Christ, our men's ministry. He is also the assistant of the music department of Greater New Hope, our Voices of Hope, as well as the lead praise and worship leader. But above all, he is a man of God. He has proven to be worthy of this call. He has been proven to be worthy of the mandate that's on his life, the anointing that's on his life. It hasn't been easy again. He's been through some battles. He's lost 2 sisters within a matter of 2 years. But through it all, God has continued to keep him steadfast and unmovable and continuing to preach the unadulterated. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He will give you hope. He will extend grace, but he does not sugarcoat. So at this time, I present to some and introduce to others none other than our very own pastor, Norris Rice of Greater New Hope Christian Center. Amen. Amen.
Come on, let's bless him in the room. Come on, let's give him glory in the room. If that was an applause for me, that would be cool. But we lifting up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's something that says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, I feel like I'm home and all he's done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Do I have 3 witnesses in the room that knows about the goodness of God? The worship team just sung about it, but do I have somebody that can identify about how good he's been to you? Come on, you got to make it personal. Hey, I know he's been good to you, but tap yourself and say, he's been good to me. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. Hey, he's been good to me. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. I heard you, Pastor. I don't feel like I'm home. I am home. Hey, yeah. This is family. This is family. Amen. This is family. Unity Worship Center. What they do. What's up? What's going on? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We give honor, amen, to God, amen, who is my life, amen. And absolutely, I am nothing without him. I honor, amen, my fabulous, extraordinary, awesome apostle, Gloria Smith, amen, who amen, has allowed me to come over, amen, and fellowship, amen, with you guys, amen, on this morning, amen. As my wife said, I am, amen, the associate pastor of Greater New Hope Christian Center Deliverance Ministries. And we just thank God, amen, for Unity Worship Center. Come on, Unity, put your hands together. Amen. I bless God, amen. And my mother-in-law, I don't believe in saying in-law, amen, should be on the way with my two beautiful children, my sons, Norris and Nathan. They should be walking in soon. But back in 2002, my biological mother passed away from breast cancer. And you know, you don't get no replacements with that. You get one mama, you get one daddy, that's it. But if there is anything second, I got it. And I just want to honor this woman of God. She's in the house, amen. She's our other Janice Lamar of Greater New Hope. Can you just wave your hands? Amen. She stepped in and took the place as my mother. Amen. And I honor this woman of God. Amen. She spoke life into me when I didn't believe. And so I thank God for her and her obedience unto the Lord. Amen. I thank God, amen, for, amen, you know, they call it your baby mama. The syrup to my pancake. The milk to my cereal. The pop to my tart. I thank God for my beautiful wife. Come on, can you clap for her, man? I thank God for her. Amen. She tried to not say it herself, but she's also Pastor Desire Rice. I thank God for her as well. I believe whatever God has put on my life, he has put on hers too. Amen. We are a package deal. Amen. Amen. It's not me and her, it's us. We. Amen. We in ministry together. Amen. So she is a package deal. And last but not least, I want to honor the awesome men of God. See, everybody should have been on their feet right here. I want to honor the dynamic. Listen. I'm indebted to this man of God. Keep standing. I'm indebted to this man of God. This man saw something in me and took a chance on me and gave me my first opportunity to preach outside of Greater New Hope. Amen. The first time I preached outside of my own walls, amen, it was called Growth Temple then. Yeah, humble beginnings. I was there in the plaza. Well, you call a little storefront, huh? I was there, what we call it, G Squad. Hell yeah. Yeah. I was there. And he gave me my first opportunity to minister. And man, that's been a connection. And I've been so indebted to this man. I just love this man and woman of God. I've seen the journey. I've seen the steadfastness. I've seen the perseverance. I've seen the endurance. Amen. And I know there is more to come. I know we celebrate 14, but I remember the beginning, and I thank God for your faithfulness. So come on, can you put your hands together for Pastor Stephen and Miriam? Lights, come on, make some noise in the room for your man of God. Come on, you ought to be excited for the shepherd you have. Come on, bless God for him. Come on, honor him, give him glory, magnify his name. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, bless God for the men of God. Amen. We love them. Amen. And I thank God for him. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. 14 years. 14 years. Man, that's some. Listen. That's some. Churches, amen, they don't last 1 month. Amen. They don't last 1 month. I do want to say this about me. If you've never been in audience with me as I minister the word of God, I am a very, what we call a hot preacher. I'm honest, open, and transparent. I don't believe in condemnation. I don't believe in judgment, but I do believe in hope. And I do believe in giving truth. Now, let me give you a disclaimer about the truth. It helps, but it hurts. I don't believe in giving you a half truth. Amen. That's still a lie. I believe in giving the whole truth and nothing but the truth, to my own detriment, because I just believe that as long as there's breath in your body, I believe that there's hope for your situation. And I want you to know today that if you're in a space and you're in this room on today, that the ability for God to still move on your behalf is great, because you're not dead yet. Somebody shout, say, I'm still alive. Yeah, you're not dead yet. And I say yet because, unfortunately, if Jesus tarries 100 years, we all won't be here no more. But while there's still breath in your body, there's still for opportunity for God to do what he said he's going to do. How many know that he's able, and amen, to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think? And so I want you to know today, I know people, you know, when you get up, amen, I've been around, I've been sitting in that seat where you at, you already created your narrative. But I want you to know you're in good hands. You're in good hands. You know, you're, what is he going to talk about? Who is he? You're in good hands. Trust me. I don't come with bad news. I come with good news. I come with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good news. And I don't come to preach my opinion. I come to preach Jesus. Amen. I don't come to preach my opinion. I come to preach Jesus. But 14 years is a beautiful thing. And you know, when you put 7 and 7 together, you get the number 14. And we know that 7 is God's number. It's God's number of perfection and completeness. And so I believe, amen, that 14 can also stand for double completeness and double perfection. I don't think it's coincidence that we would theme this year's, or declare this year's anniversary service as a different me. I don't think it's by coincidence, because I do believe, amen, that God has called you into another version of who you are, not just for the pastor, but for this house, amen, because the oil runs down from the pastor to the congregation. And so whatever is on the pastor's life, amen, will be on the congregation's life. Now, let me tell you one thing about me. I'm never a hater. I'm not a hater. I believe in congratulating wherever God has showed up. And here's why. Because I believe if I'm close in the vicinity where somebody's been blessed, then mine's is right around the corner. Yeah. Yeah. I believe. Amen. That when God shows up on your behalf, amen, if I'm connected to you, that means that he's going to show up on mine. Hey, I don't believe that God is such a God like that to allow me to see, amen, you come through on the other side and let me see that and allow me to stay where I'm at. So if I'm connected to you and victory is connected to you, that means that victory is connected to me. Come on, y'all give God some praise. Yeah, give God some praise. So We have titled the theme today as a different me. I want you to grab your Bibles, amen. If you got hard copies, most don't carry hard copies no more. So I want you to pull your phones out. Most have phones, amen. I want you to get the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 32. Amen. We're going to read verses 24 through 28. And then we're going to skip over, amen, to the New Testament and put our hands on the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 8, amen. It's something that we say in our house every Sunday morning. I want you to repeat after me. Somebody shout, come on, say, God is exalted. God is exalted. The devil is defeated. And we have the victory. Come on, I want you to say that with some more conviction this time. Come on, say, God is exalted. The devil is defeated. And we have the victory. I want you to say that like you believe it. One more time in the room. God is exalted. The devil is defeated. And we have the victory. Now, come on, put those hands on it real big, real loud. Come on. Amen, and shout Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just had to check the temperature of the room. Amen. 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 Genesis 32nd chapter 24 verse says this. Then Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed." Let's jump over to Philippians, the second chapter, verses 8. Amen. You don't have time to turn there. That's okay. I will read it. And it says this. And being formed and being found in an appearance as a man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Amen. As we have declared, amen, this theme of this anniversary service to be a different me, I want to talk to you for, amen, a couple of minutes if you loan me your ear. I want to talk to you from the title, The Jesus in Me. Yeah. Come on, everybody say, The Jesus in Me. Jesus. Come on, tap yourself and say, It's the Jesus in me. Yeah, the Jesus in me. See, many of you can't even say that or don't believe it, amen, because the enemy has convinced you, amen, amen, that you are what you did. Yeah. He's convinced you that you are what you did. See, what I love about God is this, my brother, is that God will never call you what you did. He'll call you who you are. Yeah. Satan will always show up and call you by your past. He'll always show up and identify you by what you was. Yeah. But the Bible says that any man in Christ is a what? New creature. Come on, do I got any Bible believing people in here? All things are, come on, talk to me. And behold, all things I become new. What I was is what I was. That's what I used to be. Yeah. All it used to be is lift a hand in the room. I used to do that. I used to be this. I was that. But now I found the Creator. I found Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. Does that mean that I'm perfect? Because the Bible does not teach sinless perfection. But what the Bible does teach us in Romans 6 and 14 is that sin should no longer have dominion over you. Yeah. Come on. That's what it tells us, right? Yeah. Yeah. So if we're declaring a different me, if that's going to be a different me, then it's an indication that there's another version of me. Yeah. It's indicating to me that if this is our declaration, that means that there's another version of me, or another version of you. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, there's more." You didn't die because there's more. Yeah. You didn't give up because there's more. You're alive because there's more. Have you ever sat back and wondered, why me? Have you ever sat back and wondered, God, I know some people that went through what I went through, but why did I come out on the other side? I know women, God, that if any sister in the house, God, I know other women that was in abusive relationships like me, but yet how did I survive? God, I know other men, God, that was in a game like me. They sold dope like me. They ran through women like me. But how did I come out on the other side? Amen. Because let me tell you something. There's something that's called mercy. Amen. And the mercy of God, amen, amen, it withholds what you really do deserve. And I want you to know, amen, that when you enter the portal, not even before you came into the world, but when you was in your mother's womb, amen, amen, that mercy was attached to you. How do I know that? Because there's a spirit of abortion in the United States of America that is aborting life. All right, let me go here, because I believe I'm home, right? And I got the opportunity to be honest. Yeah, you know, we're going around now saying we're pro-life, pro-choice. Here's the thing, though. The Bible says, I lay two doors before you. You could choose life or death.
The thing is, it's your choice. Here's the problem, though. You have to meet the consequences of your choice. While he's a God that's full of grace, amen, consequences come from decision making. But here's what God says. I give you the option because, you know, my body, my choice. I give you the option. But then God says, just in case if you're a little illiterate, just in case if you are a little off, I'm going to give you the answer to the question. Choose life. So God is pro-choice and pro-life. He gave you the option to choose. But now you can't cry when you're facing the consequences of your decision. I lay a door before you. What are you going to choose? But God says, just in case if you off your rockers, just in case if you're going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, I'm going to give you the answer to the test. Choose life. Yeah. And I believe, Pastor, I believe that many a times we want to make the enemy the problem, but when it's really us. Because here's the thing. See, Satan is an opportunist. And many a times I believe it is the decisions that we make that allow the enemy to take advantage of who we are. See, it wasn't the devil that made you do it. You did it. He just took advantage of the decision you made. He's an opportunist. So if you give him the opportunity to wreak havoc in your life, that's what he's going to do. Yeah. But have you ever wondered, God, how did I make it out of that? It was the mercy of God. Watch me. And I'm just a firm believer of this right here. That anything that God is attending to grace, he's already extended mercy to it. Yeah. How did you make it out of that? Listen, because when you couldn't say no, mercy was saying no. Okay, do I have any honest people in the house? You knew you shouldn't have did it, but everything in you was saying, don't do it. That's why Paul said, the good in me I find not to do, but the wrong in me I do. And when I want to do right, evil's always present. I want to do the right thing, but I don't have to know in me to say no. When you can say no, mercy was saying no. You got behind the wheel and you know you should have ran off the road. Mercy said no. Yeah, you was laying in the bed with AIDS, but you didn't catch it because mercy. Mercy. Yes, mercy. I'm just coming to give you the truth of mercy. I'm just coming to give you, and I know, listen, I know we think we all that, and I know we think we, you know, we have arrived, and I know, you know, we done got educated in Christ. I know that we think we somebody, but can I just keep it real with you? Satan doesn't hate you, amen, because, amen, you are a good preacher. Satan doesn't hate you, amen, because you show up to church faithfully. He doesn't hate you because you have an awesome and dynamic prayer life. He doesn't hate you because, amen, you sing like the angels. He doesn't hate you, amen, because you have the ability to prophetically speak into people's lives. The reason that Satan hates you simply is because you are a recipient of the grace of God. You are a recipient of God, amen, keeping you out of things that you really deserve. Mercy says, I won't let you experience. Grace says, I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. Amen. He hates you, amen, because watch this. When you mess up, you have the ability to repeat and start over. Amen. And on the other hand, he knows that there has been a set destination for you. If I was him, I would hate you too. Amen. How many times are you going to forgive them, God? It's the grace of God. Jesus said, how many times did you forgive me? He said 70 times 7. If we want to do the numbers on that, that's 490. In essence, what Jesus was saying is forgive him all the time. Watch this, because God is a forgiving God. I would hate you too. I would have a problem with you too if I sit in the cut and watch you mess up time and time again. Yet, amen, the forgiving God kept coming to the rescue. Why? Because of grace. It's the grace. It's the grace of God. It is the grace of God. So, I'm alive because of the mercy that is attached to my life. I'm still here because there's more. I'm still here because there's meat on this bone. Amen. I'm still here because, amen, there's still more to give. There's more to go. Amen. The journey didn't stop after 14 years. The journey didn't stop after a year. Amen. The journey didn't stop after 5 years. Amen. The journey didn't stop when I was backstabbed. Yeah. The journey didn't stop when they lied on me. Yeah. The journey didn't stop. Amen. When an enemy came and ran through my church. Amen. And caused that vision. It didn't stop. Amen. It should have stopped. I should have quit. I should have thrown a towel. Why? But there was a mercy that was attached to my life that caused me to continue to go forth. And when I couldn't open up my mouth and utter a word, amen, God was still on my side. Yeah, he was still on my side. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's okay, Pastor Lyons. I'll preach to you today. He was on my side. And so I want to encourage you, listen, amen, that if you still have the ability to inhale and exhale, amen, God still has the ability to move. Yeah, he still has the ability to move. Amen. I want to lay a foundation of hope in the room for you today. Amen. I believe I'm a Moses to my generation. Amen. Because it's not the fact this right here. Many times, amen, people, the struggles in the dynamic of it that people have going on in life, amen, they didn't choose it. It chose them. See, I don't want to have this conversation. It didn't choose them. Amen. Amen. Every homosexual didn't choose it. It chose them. Amen. Every porn addict didn't choose it. It chose them. Every drug addict didn't go after it. It chose them. How do I know that? Because I work in a preschool setting and I watch these little ones come in with a dynamic of things that they want to do and they don't even have the mind to think that. That's how I know that there's a real enemy and he's impressionable, amen, on children. Amen. Watch me. If Facebook knows your algorithm, you think Satan doesn't know it? You can type in something on Google and then you jump on Facebook and the thing that you were searching shows up in the book because it knows your algorithm. If technology knows your algorithm, you don't think there's an enemy that knows your algorithm? This is why the Bible tells us in Thessalonians to don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't talk to me, people. Amen. Why? Because there's an enemy that studies you. He has studied this version of you. Amen. But we are about to elevate and come into a new dynamic of who we are. So I am in a place in my life that I'm starting to see Jesus in a different light. I'm starting to look at the total person of Christ. You know, we really only celebrate and talk about, you know, his death, burial, and resurrection, and that should always be highlighted, right? That should always be. It is the reason why we're here today. It is the reason why we're alive, because of what he finished. It is the reason why we stand today. I am because of him. But I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm loving the totality of Jesus' life. I'm starting to look at really what made this man so amazing. Listen, and I would never, don't get me wrong, I need you to hear me, people of God. I would never in a million years belittle his death because the supremacy of his death is what validates me. So I will never belittle his death. I will never poo-poo over what he did on Calvary because that is the thing that validates my life, amen, that gives me the right to be who I am. It is the death of Jesus that has given me an access point or an entry point to be able to walk in victory and freedom. But I am a firm believer now as I really do and inspect his life that it is the life of Jesus that teaches me how to maintain who I am. I'm starting to look at what made this man so remarkable. I know he died, but there's a life he lived before he died. What made this man Jesus so dynamic? You know, Jesus would say things that like this: when you see me, you seen the Father. He will also say things like this: that I would never do anything without the Father. What was it that allowed him to stay committed in a culture that wanted him to decommit? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what was it that never allowed him to lose focus of the task? What was it that never allowed him to throw in a towel or give up, amen, on what God had called him to do? You know, there's so many people that God has given a plan to and they threw it away. They threw it away. They threw it away. I want you to understand something, that Jesus, amen, he has dealt with the things, amen. We think we deal with stuff today. Jesus dealt with some stuff. Every time he stepped out, amen, into society, and he will give thus said the Lord to the synagogues or to the masses of people. Listen, Jesus, church popped up everywhere with Jesus. We come in the building. All right, I definitely want y'all to understand this. This beautiful building that we're in is just a building. This is not the church. This is a building. This is a building that we have ordained to come in and worship in together. But the church is you sitting in the pew, you sitting in the seat. It is the ecclesia. It is the called out ones that's been called out of darkness and been transformed in this marvelous light. I need you to lift your hands and say, I'm the church. Yeah, so wherever you go, wherever your feet tread, wherever you place your feet at, you are the church. The church is you. When you step into the room, the church is represented. Hey. When you step on a job, the church is represented. I'm just talking about being different. When you step in boardroom meetings, the church is represented. I didn't got to come to the building called Unity. No, I am the body. I am. It's me. It's a watch. Jesus. We really need to look at his life, because when Jesus steps out into society and things are going on, there are many times in the Bible, watch, that the scripture says, and they attempted to stone him, which means that there was a murder attempt out on his life because many didn't like what he was saying. I want you to know today, for every preacher in the room, for every leader in the room, we're arriving to a time in the culture of our world today, we already see it, that they will cancel you for giving the truth. We already see it. Amen. Do you still have the guts to stand up behind the pulpit? Amen. A pulpit doesn't have to be right here. The pulpit can be on your job. Do you have the guts to stand up in the face of the world and still declare that Jesus is Lord? I love what Sammy Rodriguez said. He said he stepped into a boardroom. He was waiting to get a big, amen, a big opportunity. And the people said to him, listen, Sammy, I want you to know we lean left. That's what Sammy Rodriguez said. He said, I want you to know, Sammy, we lean left. And Sammy really wanted what they had on the table for him. And the Spirit of the Lord started talking to him. And he said, you need to tell them the truth. Tell them the truth, Sammy. Tell them. And he's going back and forth. And finally he said, we don't lean. He told the person, we don't lean. We stand. We stand for whatever God said is right. We stand on the word of God. When is that going to come into the body? That we're not leaning left or right. That's the problem. We got left or right. No, I just want to stand. I stand for the truth of God's word. Yeah, I stand. I'm not leaning. I'm not leaning. The French our boys told us that, to lean with it, rock with it. Y'all know the song. But the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if I'm leaning, something is not right. But I need to stand. So Jesus, he was a remarkable figure. I know the deaf is highlighted, and the deaf, you know, that put his name in the lights, and it blew him up. But the life he lived, what made this man so remarkable in his life? What made him able to not go there when individuals were pulling him to go there? What made him be able to stand in the face of fear? What made him not quit? What made him not throw it all away? Because the truth of the matter is, I don't care who you are and where you're at in life, at some point in time, we have all dealt with pressure. Yeah, there's an analogy in the sports world that says pressure busts pipes. We've all dealt with some form of pressure. Amen. There's no respect of person, whether you're young or old. We've all dealt with pressure. It's pressure to stay, pressure to go. Pressure to say I do, pressure to say I don't want to. Pressure to go to the job. Come on. Some of y'all got pressure right now saying, am I going to show up at work tomorrow? Pressure. Amen. Pressure to go in there. You know how we are. Amen. Pressure to go in there. It's the last time they're going to talk to me like that. It's pressure not to go in there and cuss them out. Come on. We all got pressure. It's pressure. It's pressure on our lives. Amen. But I believe, amen, that we have the right prototype to look at how to deal with pressure. His name is Jesus. And this is why I'm loving, amen, the intel of his life. Because his life, amen, has given us the example on how to deal with every walk of drama that we will go through in life. His life is amazing. His life is remarkable. And I begin to ask God, what was the secret sauce to Jesus' life? What made this man so special? He died. I know God. I thank God for his death. But while he lived, what made him so remarkable? What made him so special? What made him so dynamic? What made him so committed to the task? And I would dare to say this to you guys, that what made Jesus special, amen, was his level of submission. Yeah, his level of submission. His. I know. Listen, especially for us, for you black folks. I know the first when we hear submit, we think control. I know. Somebody trying to control me. Somebody trying to tell me what to do. Somebody trying to tell me where I can go and what I can't go. No. That's not what submission has to do with. A submission is you as an individual willingly relinquishing your control to the person in the authoritative role. Watch me. I begin to really look into this, and I wanted to know, was there a difference of obedience and submission? Because both words were similar. Together, they interject together. But then I found a small piece of evidence that brings a difference in the room when you look at those two words. Because when you are obedient, simply you are complying or compliant. I'm gonna give you some preach word here in a little bit, but can I just lay a foundation? You're just simply obeying the instructions and the details that was given to you. When I worked for Community Action, we had compliance officers. Yeah. Yeah, Sister Sherry, no. Yeah, we had compliance officers. Matter of fact, I believe she was one of them. Watch. Compliance was a big thing at Community Action. And most people comply or are obedient simply because they don't want to meet the consequences of not doing what they was told to do. Just because I obey an instruction don't mean I have a heart for the person who's giving it to me. Just because I do what you tell me to do, come on, we all been children. You know you did not want to go in there and wash them dishes. You know you did not want to clean that room. You know you did not want to be in the house. See, when I was young, I had to be in the house when the street lights came on. I don't know what these kids today, they tell their parents what they going to do. I lived in a different time, different generation. Amen. But now, kids are different now. But you knew you didn't want to do everything your parent asked you to do. But you knew if you didn't, there was going to be consequences. There was going to be consequences. You weren't down for the cause. You just knew you better had did it because there was going to be consequences. So just because you comply don't mean you are all in with the person that's telling you to do what you want to do. Amen. Now, we never talked about you, Miss Sherry, but for some of them compliance officers, they got on our nerves. Why? Because it was a lot of paperwork. But we knew we better have been compliant when they showed up, or it was going to be consequences and repercussions. Did we want to do the paperwork? No. But we did it because we knew the consequences. But when you are submitted to something, the consequences don't matter. You do it out of your heartfelt love. I'm talking. I said, this is the problem I think that we have today, because they merely keep looking at a man that is standing in the position that God has put him in, and they're not looking at the God figure on a man's life. And so when a pastor asks them to do something, the problem is that they say, this man put on his pants like I do. This man put on a jacket like I do. This woman put on her skirt like I do. What in the world they think who they think they are? You need to go take that up with God, because if you don't like what they're telling you to do, that means you don't like the God that put them in a position to do what they do. Come on, can we talk for a little bit? Can we keep it funky in here? Can we be real for a second? Yeah. You know why? Because have you submitted your heart? Your heart. And I believe that this is what separated Jesus. I believe that this is what made him special, is his ability to humble himself and come under, his ability to submit. How in the world did you still stay strong in the face of all that? I believe the strength of Jesus was in his submission to his Father. Yeah, it's tight, but it's right. It was in a submission to the submission of his Father. This is what made this man so dynamic. This is what made him special. Listen, the Bible says, and I didn't read it, but it says this right here. In verse 5 of Philippians, it said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Then it says this. It says, Jesus, amen, who thought himself to be equal to God, made himself of no reputation. Let's pause for a minute right here. Let this mind be in you, which means the level of submission is a mentality issue. Yeah. You got a problem with submitting because of the mindset. Your mindset. That's why the Bible says, let this mind. You need to think like he thinks. See, we want to talk like he talked, but we don't want to think like he thinks. Yeah. In me is the in life. Amen. Everything I have in me. We want to talk like Jesus, but we want to think like him. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. He said, I am equal to God. I'm equal to him. And I don't think it's robbery. But guess what I'm going to do? Amen. Because it's not about me. It's about him. I'm going to make myself of no reputation. Yeah, I'm going to make myself a no reputation. And so I have come to the conclusion, watch me, is that when I live a submitted life to God, the fruit of obedience comes out of that. Yeah, the fruit of obedience comes out of that. I told our church Thursday night, I believe that God is calling us to another level of submission. And as I prepared to come over here today, this morning, God said that is not just for Greater New Hope, but that's for the totality of the body of Christ. I'm calling my people to another wave of submission. I'm calling them to another wave of coming under me. I'm coming because it's not about them, it's about me. I'm going to prove it to you right here. You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? You remember? And he asked God, he said, if this cup that I'm looking in and I'm seeing what I got to go through, if this thing I don't want to do it. That's basically what Jesus said. I don't want to do this. But because he was submitted, this is what he told God. He said the most profound words to me in human history. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, I'm in a place that in my 40 years of living now that my only obligation in life is to please God. Yeah, to my own detriment. This is where I'm at now, brother. I just want to please God. So if God, if you asking me to do it, I will obey. I just want to please you. I just want to put a smile on your face. I just want to make sure you right. I don't want to be right. I want you to be right. And that's the problem I think many of us have. We want to be right. I just want God to be right. Because if he right, then I'm right. If he okay, then I'm okay. If he cool, then I'm cool. I just want God to be cool. I just want him to be right. I just want to please him. Yeah, got it twisted. Here's the thing, Pastor. I believe they got it twisted. Amen. Sometimes you look at the pulpit, and I asked God this one day. I said, God, why is it is that the pulpit has grace for the pew, but the pew don't have grace for the pulpit? I asked God one day, I said, why do I have to have grace for that, them, and they don't have grace for me? Amen. And it's the reason why I believe so many pastors flame out in the United States of America, because they people want to put Superman on them. Amen. Yeah, up here we Superman. Amen. But once this leave out of here, we regularly turn back to Clark Kent. Up here we're Wonder Woman. But when we leave out of here, we're just another woman like you. Amen. Why? Because, listen, amen, if we be honest, amen, because we want to please God, there's some things that we just won't do. But if we be real, there have been plenty of times I might want to put my hands on somebody. Y'all don't want the truth. I'm not here to lie to y'all today. I'm just keep it real. Y'all don't want the truth, amen, because I want to please him. You think it is. No, really, I want to please him. That's why I didn't cuss you out. I just want to please him. Y'all don't want the truth. I'm just giving you the truth. That's why I didn't talk to you crazy, because I want to please him. You don't think that the devil messed with the pastor's mind? See, y'all got all these things going on in y'all head about the pastor, but you don't think Satan talks to the pastor too? But because we have made a life of submission unto God, I don't have the privilege to do what you're going to do. I don't have the privilege to say what you can say. Yeah, because I'm submitted unto God. I'm submitted, but don't think you get twisted one second. Amen. I wanted to say some stuff too. I wanted to do some stuff too. I wanted to act stupid too. I wanted to show up and act ugly too. But because I know it's not my life, my life is not my own. My life belongs to him. And my obligation is not my will, but thy will be done. I know that I got to shut my mouth when I really want to speak. I want to speak. I want to speak. Don't let it fool you. They think you show up on them jobs and they think you soft. They think you a coward. They think you know you just trying to please God. Yeah, they think they can talk to you any type of way. No, baby, you can't. I just want to please God. Amen. Because if you got that old version of me, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Amen. I will cuss you up 10 times sideways. Amen. Walk out like that's not a problem. But because I have an obligation to please God. Don't get it twisted. Amen. For all my single people in here, they got it twisted. You know, you still got feelings. Your hormones ain't going nowhere. Amen. But I want to please God. I want to live a life unto God. Don't get it twisted. Amen. When a certain song come on, it makes me feel a certain type of way. I'm still human. I just want to please God. I just want to please God. Why in church does the humanity of people shock us? When it doesn't shock God. You're saved. You're trying to be like Jesus. You're not him. You're still human. Who told you that you can't feel? Who told you that you can't be upset? The Bible says be angry, but sin not. Who told you? Who told you you have to stay in that type of foolishness and in that relationship? Let me tell you something. If trying to stay in a place where you're losing yourself to try to save somebody else, then you about to leave. If you are in a position where you're losing who you are to save somebody else, it's time to go. That's only one person in human history that lost himself to save somebody else. And he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the apple of my eye. He is El Shaddai, the many-breasted one. He is the one we call Jireh, the provider. His name is Jesus. There's only one person I know in human history that lost himself to save somebody else. Baby, if you're in a relationship and you losing who you are to try to save somebody else, you better get out of it right now. Because I dare to lose who I am to try to help somebody else. Girl, if you don't want God, if you want to do right, I need to go. I'm not going to lose who I am trying to help you. I don't mind helping you. But if I'm losing who I am, if I'm losing sight of the God in me, then it's time for me to get out of the door. Amen. I'm not going to burn down with the house. There's only one person I know that says, I give my life so you can get yours. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And he was able to do things that he did because he came under. He was submitted unto God. This is the reason why, amen, he can look in the face of those who hated him, and yet he still loved them. He was submitted. You know what, Pastor? It marvels me that there's competition for this mic. Everybody want the mic, but they don't want the responsibility that come with the mic. Yeah. Everybody want the title, but they don't want the responsibility that come with the title. Yeah. Can I keep it real with you? That's a lot of benefits you get. That's a lot of hand claps you get. That's a lot of all of that. But if you really know behind the scenes, amen, how the enemy wreak havoc, amen, on the ones who have this microphone in your hand. I'm not just talking about those who preach, even those who lead worship, amen. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, when you up on the stage, amen, when you up on front, when you up seeing, the enemy hates you. You know why? Amen. Because you are the mouthpiece. Peace for God. Amen. Whether you preach in the lead in worship, amen. Whether you play an instrument, you usher in the presence of God. Satan hates you. I can do that. I can do that. You know why? You the worship leader makes it look easy. You know, the musician, the drummer, the preacher makes it look easy. It's because the grace and the anointing that's on their lives. Grace makes things look very easy. It does, amen. But try to do something in your own strength. You'll fall on your face. It is the grace of God that gives you the ability to stand up and do what you do. But when you do it out of your own will and your own strength, you will fall on your face. You can have this mic and all the problems that come with it. Preaching is one part of it. See, you got it twisted. Preaching is not pastoring. I'm going to get to it right now. I'm almost done, y'all. Preaching is not pastoring. I did a study on a shepherd one time. And the one thing I know, the thing I found out about sheep is that sheep are dumb animals. Sheep will get in the most compromising situations. They don't know where to go. They have no direction. The shepherd has to do everything for them. Yeah. Let me tell you what a real true shepherd would do. When the sheep would get down in a dirty place. Yeah. Y'all don't want to admit today. Y'all all been in some dirty spaces. Yeah, dirty. Yeah, dirty. Mud all up to here. Dirty. When the sheep would get down dirty, a real shepherd would get in the dirt with them. Yeah. A real shepherd would get in the dirt with them and take them out. Watch this. And not just take them out, but clean them up. Yeah, clean them up. A real shepherd knew how to cover. See, it ain't just preaching. Amen. It's the phone calls at night. Amen. It's sometimes denying your own family to go take care of somebody else. I'm just giving you the truth. I'm talking about Jesus. See, when there's a level of submission, you would do what God wants you to do and not what you want to do. So the secret sauce on Jesus' life was his level of submission. And I believe that God is calling unity to another dynamic of coming under who God is. Amen. Not the preacher, not the pastor. God. Follow me as I follow. Yeah. Hey, man, if I go left, you about to keep going right. Hey, man, if I get off the railroad track, you by not, you about to keep going. If I get the tripping, you about to keep going right. If I get off, you by not follow me, you about to go after God. Follow me as I follow Christ. As long as I'm under the wheel and I'm submitted to God, then come along for the journey. Yeah. See, real preachers won't say this. I have no, there's no control. I don't want to control you. I just want the God-given ability. I want to build it and cultivate it in you. I want you to grow who God has called you to be. But if I get to acting stupid, you better go another way. Follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah, because I believe that the Lord is building up a new level and dynamic of submission in the lives of the people of God all across America. God is wanting them to come under. Why? Because of what is coming. Watch this. In the book, amen, in the Bible says this right here. Because I believe, amen, that with this submission is a new level of power. Most of us just had the power to rebuke. The word rebuke means simply to stop. Amen. You ever heard somebody say, Satan, I rebuke you? What you're simply saying is, Satan, stop.
Yeah.
Hey, but when you are submitted, you have the power to make him run. The Bible says, I'm not making this up, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. I don't know about you, but I just don't want Satan to stop. I need him to go. Amen. If I come under and I build up some resistance, I put him on the run. I don't need him to stop in my children's life. I need him to flee. I don't need him to stop in my marriage. I need him to flee. I don't need him to stop in my loved one's life. I need him to flee. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You want him to stop, I want him to go. I'm sick of these sleepless nights. I'm sick of these voices in my head. I'm sick of the drug addiction on my family. I'm sick of the, my God. I'm sick of the sexual addiction. I'm sick of it all. I don't want it to stop. I want him to go. In Jesus' name. If you're going to be different, then you got to come under. If you're going to be different, you got to get low to get high. If you're going to be different, you got to get low to get high. Because the Bible says, being obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Now God has given him a name. If you're going to go low, if you want to be different, you got to go low to get high. God exalts the humble. Yeah, yeah. If you want to go high, you got to go low, baby. You got to go low. You got to go low, and you only, amen, are going to meet, amen, this place of who you are coming into, amen, when you run into the God of your strength. Sit down real quick. Watch this. I'm about to be done. I started out reading the passage of Jacob. Amen. Jacob, he gave us a prototype of the Savior, amen, and his son Joseph. But I don't want to talk about Joseph and his coat today. I want to talk about his daddy. I want to talk about his daddy, Jacob, who had a daddy named Isaac, who his daddy was Abraham, who we label as the father of faith. I want to talk about Jacob, amen, who was known as a trickster and a deceiver, who had a twin brother named Esau. And we know the story. We learned this in Sunday school, amen, that the mama, amen, because watch me, we always forget that God told the mama, amen, amen, that the younger, amen, the older would serve the younger. God gave the parent the word. He gave her the word, amen. She just went about it the wrong way. Amen. We knew Esau loved strange women. Amen. He was in his own thing. So they took it upon themselves, amen, to trick the father and make him think, amen, that Jacob was Esau. And what happened was, amen, Jacob stole Esau's birthright. I'm just giving you a backdrop of the story. Amen. As the story goes on, Esau gets upset because now there's no more. Here's the thing that I learned, amen, in the Bible. Amen. Amen. Words are powerful. The Bible says that left, death, and life is in the power of the tongue. Amen. And in the old patriarchal system, when they blessed you, it was forever. Whatever they put on your life, it was forever. That's why it was important. When the old patriarchs died, amen, they gathered everybody around and spoke words over their lives. Amen. And Esau knew that once that thing had left his father's mouth, it was no getting it back. And so he was upset and he made a vow to kill his brother. Jacob goes on, and for the majority of his adulthood, he is running from a murderer. For the majority of his adult life, he's running from a murderer because he's scared. And we get into chapter 32, down in the 24th verse. Here's what happens. All of a sudden now, amen, Jacob hears and finds out that Esau is in his vicinity. He finds out, amen, amen, that there's no running, there's no more hiding. He's going to have to confront, amen, what he's been running from. He's going to have to deal with what he's been running from. Jacob is about to collide with the thing that he's been running from his whole life. Can I give you a word today? If you don't confront it, it will annihilate you. that. If a different you was going to show up, amen, you're going to have to confront the thing that wants to kill you. Yeah, you're going to have to deal with the thing that doesn't like you. You're going to have to deal with, amen, the thing that wants to take your life. If you don't confront it, it will confront you and it will annihilate you. But the version that you, that God is trying to get out of you, God is saying, you got to go confront it, baby. You're going to have to deal with the voices that you hear. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with the sleepless nights. I mean, I'm tired of telling my problems, amen, about me. How about you look to him and start telling him about your God? How about you look to him and start telling him about what God said? How about you look at your issues and telling them about who God is? Here's the problem, Pastor, is that many of us believe in the truth of our reality, but not the faith of God. What are you saying? What am I saying right there? Amen. You could go anywhere in the world, watch me, and I don't care how you try to do it, amen. If you take one and put another one with it, you're going to get two. That's the truth. Anywhere you can go in the West, which is the United States, you could go over in the East, where Israel, you can go China, Russia, wherever you go at, you take one, you add another one, you're going to get two. That is the truth. And can't nobody in the room argue you that that ain't right. Why is it the thing, same thing is that we can hear a lie of the enemy about who we are in God and we believe it. We believe the lies of the enemy, but yet, amen, we will argue a fact of a secular arena. We will argue the fact of something secular, amen, but we believe the lies of the enemy. If God said you can have it, then you can have it. If God said you are this, then you are this. Why would we allow the enemy to come and whisper a lie to us, and it begins to get us to doubt? Can't nobody convince you that 1 + 1 ain't 2, amen? Well, they shouldn't be able to convince you what God has said about you. The problem is, you can't see God, you keep seeing yourself. You can't see God, you can't keep seeing yourself. That's the problem. You see yourself. You start looking at who God says you are and stop looking at who man says you are, then you'll be able to see God. And what I love about God, my brothers, is that God will call you something before you ever know how to be it. See, in our intellect and how we operate is, we will never call you it until you prove to us that you can be it. I'm not going to call you good until you show me you're good. God will call you good when you don't know how to be good. God will call you right when you don't know how to be right. Humanity say, I can't call you that until you tell me, until you show me or prove to me that you can be that. But God, on the other hand, says, I am going to call you this when you don't even know how to be it. Why? Because I'm going to put this all on me. That's the thing I love about God. He puts the pressure all on him. If I said that they can have it, then it's my ability to do it in their life. It's not on them, it's on me. If I told them that I'm going to do this for them, then it's not on them, it's on me. The problem is, you need to relinquish the control back to God. Take your hand out of it and give it to God and watch God work. He that begun a good work. So watch. Jacob has nowhere to run no more. We're talking about being different. He has nowhere to go no more. He has to now go confront the thing he's been running from his whole life. Yeah, you got to face this. You sit in the room. Something happened to you 20 years ago and you still ain't faced this thing. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with the thing you don't want to deal with. And I know it hurts. I know you're scared, but you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to collide with this thing and confront the thing that you've been running from confronting. He has nowhere to go, so he's with his wives and his children. Amen. Here's the thing. He's been blessed. God has been moving for him. He's been blessed. But the old version of him has to go. The version of who he is in this moment has to die. And God, listen, here's what I learned. I learned this right here. Just because you pray to God about you don't mean that God is going to give the answer about you to you. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. Just because you pray to God about you don't mean that God is going to give you the answer about you to you. Yeah. Israel, watch me. They was under Gideon. They was in captivity for 7 years. And then when Samson showed up on the scene in Judges, they went into captivity for 40 years. They prayed. The Bible says he heard the cries of the people. Amen. And they cried out for God to deliver them. Amen. We have a perception in our head how we think God's going to do the thing. But how God did it was was birthing a woman with a child. Y'all to catch that in a little bit. He gave a child to a woman, amen. They were looking for a way out. Didn't know, amen, that a man named Samson was coming down the pipe because God allowed a woman to get pregnant. Kind of reminds me, amen, in the Garden of Eden. You bruise her hair, I'm going to bruise your heel, amen, and I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, amen. 42 generations later, a man named Jesus showed up, amen, through the womb of a woman, amen. I need all the women in the room to lift their hands, amen. I know the devil is a liar. Amen. All this trans stuff going on. Amen. I celebrate womanhood right now in the name of Jesus. If it wasn't for the womb of a woman, nobody would be here. The devil is a liar. A woman can't say they're a woman no more. Satan, you are a liar and the truth ain't in you. But I celebrate the womb. It's because of the womb that our Savior came. It's of the womb I've been delivered. It's because of the womb I've been set free. It's because of the womb the shackles are off my feet. Now I can dance. It's because of the womb, amen, that life and breath is in my body. If it wasn't for the womb. And now society saying that a woman can't call themselves a woman. The devil is a liar. Amen. But God put the answer in the womb of a woman. And victory came through. But now this time, amen, God has put the answer in something else. And the Bible says, watch me, that Jacob sent all his belongings and everything on the other side to Jabbok. He sent them all over there because he had in his mind that this is the last night that I'm going to kiss my babies. This is the last night that I'm going to see my wives. This is the last night my maid servants, and I don't know, I might not come out of this, so I'm gonna send y'all over with everything, and daddy gotta say goodbye. But the Bible says at night a man showed up, amen, and we know who the man was. It was God showed up, amen. He showed up because he had to deal, amen, with Jacob. Here's what I found out, pastor, amen, the duality of the reality of people will always show up in pressure moments. Dualism. It's a double thing in one person. He's a trickster and a deceiver, but yet there's another version of him inside of that. He's Jacob, yet he's known as a trickster and deceiver, but there's something else on the inside of that. It is his duality. And you know what, pastor? I rather call it like this. It's a public me and a private me. It's a public me and a private me. Pastor, the public, me, the public, you, they clap for that. They applaud that. They cheer that. They tell us how good we are. They tell us that they've been blessed. They tell us that we touched their lives today. The public perception of us, people love it. But if we ever uncovered ourselves and gave them the private, yeah. If we ever gave you the private, because you can handle the public me, but you can't handle, you don't want to know, amen, that your pastor, and I'm not talking about him, I'm just talking in general, you wouldn't want to know, amen, the thoughts of your pastor, the private me. Yeah, I want to acknowledge, to take a minute, to celebrate the public me. The public me has remained faithful. The public me is committed to the process. The public me is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of God. But the private me has moments that I want to quit. The private me has moments where I say, God, I don't want nothing else to do with nobody. The private me that says, God, if it was left up to me, I'd take these pills and I'd end it all. The private me says, God, I can't handle these babies. I can't handle these bills. I'm doing it by myself, God. If it wasn't for my children, I would quit. The private, you can't handle the pressure of the private me. See, grace, the grace of God is supposed to allow the church to see the private you. But if you ever show the private you, you will get judged. But I thank God, this is a God of salvation that will allow you to show the private you. It's my duality. It is the reality of my duality. Yeah. It is the reality of my duality. Yeah, because there's a public me and there's a private me. Amen. And God says, I came in a room today to deal with the private you. Amen. People don't know what you think. People don't know what's in your heart. People don't know what you go through. They see the love you have, but they don't know what you're battling behind closed doors. I like to call it like this: public victory, but private defeat. You don't know what I'm battling behind closed doors. You don't know what is going on in my life. Amen. It's my duality. It's the issues that I have. Amen. And if I had the opportunity to expose the private me, you would never want me to talk in your pulpit again. But I thank God, as a God that doesn't come to judge, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. He doesn't condemn me because of the private me. It's my duality. He says, I come to put your pride, mesh the private you with the public you. Amen. So now God shows up at night, because he showed up in the light, not at night. Jacob would have recognized who he was, and he would have put on, amen, he would have perpetrated. He would have perpetrated. He would have put on a public persona of who he was. But God says, I can't allow him to recognize who I am, so I'm going to show up at night, so I can deal with the private him. Because if it's going to be a different him, there's going to be a different version of him, I'm going to deal with him in the night. I'm going to deal with him in the darkest part of the night. You know that the darkest time of the night is 12 a.m., but the darkest time of the night is the dawning of a new day. Yeah. And so while God dealt with him at night, he dealt with him in his tomorrow. I got a word for you right now, that God is already going ahead and dealing with your tomorrow. He's already going ahead and fished your tomorrow. He's already went ahead and took care of your tomorrow. I don't want you to worry about your tomorrow. Your tomorrow is took care of. But we got to deal with what's in the night right now. We got to deal with now. Tomorrow is took care of. I got a word for you. Don't worry about tomorrow, but let's deal with now. Let's deal with what's going on in the room right now. God says, I had to show up, amen, in his night, but it actually, I showed up and I gave him his tomorrow already. So he began to physically engage with who he didn't know he was engaging in. He didn't know what he was engaging in. And all of a sudden it hit him, amen, that this is not normal. Amen. I'm engaged with something that this is not normal. Amen. And he found out, amen, that he had been in a tussle with God. He found out that he had been in a physical altercation with God. Amen. Listen, you can't fight God. Really, he was fighting against himself. Catch me. You can't fight God. Your arms ain't long enough to fight with him. He's unbeatable. He's unmovable. He was really in a fight with him, because God was trying to pull a different him out of him. He was in a fight, amen, of his life, because the old him wanted to hold on to who he was. But God had to get the different him out of there. Amen. So here's what happened. Watch. The Bible says this. We get excited about, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. That's what excites us. That's not what excited me in the story. The first thing that came about was, amen, that God, amen, we get excited. You know, we love the name change, name. He changed his name. He changed his name, amen. He was known as a trickster and deceiver, amen, but he changed his name to Israel, which means God preserves and also God prevails. Follow me. He changed his name. In the nighttime, his name, he got a name change. Yeah. Amen. You better start embracing what's at night. Yeah. God does his best work not in the light, but in the night. Yeah, that's a word for another day. God does his best work not in the light, but in the night. Yeah, that's a word for another day. If I come back, I'll preach that later on. God embraces himself in the night. And so now, this is what blessed me. The Bible says, because the old him didn't want to die, God touched his hip socket. Yeah. That's some old stuff in us that don't want to die. That's some old stuff in us that don't want to stop. But God touched his hip socket. And after the hip socket, that's when God gave him his name change. I celebrate the God who preserves and the God that prevails. But watch me, amen. We look at that, and if a different you, amen, is going to come out of who you are, sometimes, amen, it's not going to look normal. I'm about to be done right here, and I'm done, I promise. Sometimes it's not going to be normal. When he left out of the night issue and walked into the light, he didn't walk in the same way, but he walked in with a limp. He walked in with a limp, brother. Now, most of us, when we seen him, we would have said that he had a disability. But the limp that he had on his life was an indication of God's ability. Talk about me all you want. I'm gonna limp for the rest of my life. But when you see me limp, know that there's a different me. The old me would have tricked you out of your money. The old me would have manipulated you. The old me would have talked you out of your panties. Come on, let me be real. The old me would have took everything you had. But now I got this limp and it's a different me. And I know it doesn't look normal to you, but this is not a disability. This limp is an indication of God's ability. Because as long as I got this limp, I'm going to be reminded that God preserves and God prevails. Talk about me all you want, but there's a different me. It's not the old me no more. There's a different me. There's a different me. I showed up walking right, but when I came out of that night and got in the light, I got in with a limp, and I will limp all my life, and I'm okay with that, because I don't want to walk my way to hell when I can limp my way to heaven. I will limp my way to the glory. I will limp my way to deliverance. I will limp my way to victory. So you might look at this thing as a disability, but I see it as God's ability. His ability to keep me. His ability to cover me. His ability to protect me. His ability to shield me. When I want to leave and go, this is the ability to keep my mind in perfect peace. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up, because it's ability to keep me in the fight. You see it as abnormal, but baby, I've been with God and it is normal. I gotta limp my way to glory. You see it. You see it. You see it, and now you want to talk about me. Look at him. What happened to him? You ain't got to go ask nobody else what happened to me. I'll give you the tea. What happened to me is I've been with God. You ain't got to ask what happened to me. Stop going around. There's no rumor. You ain't got any, we ain't got to spread no lies. Come ask me. I will give you the whole story. I'll give you all the tea you want, baby. You ain't got to ask me. I'll give you the info. I'll give you the 411. I've been in a fight with me. It was me versus me. And had God not intervened, I would have lost to me. And if I would have lost to me, I would have ended up burning in hell for eternity. But God stepped in and he intervened with me. And now I got this limp. And this limp has reminded me that as long as I live, it's going to be a different me. That as long as I live, it's going to be a different me. That as long as I limp, there's a different me. That as long as I limp, there will be a different me. You can laugh at it all you want, but this limp shows me that all I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I will acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. What brought me this far is not me, but Jesus. Pull a different version of me out of me. And now I come to the conclusion that I'm in love with a man named Jesus, who was obedient unto death, even the death on the cross, where he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I'm healed. I'm limping, but I'm healed. This limp is an indication
revelation that I've been healed. I was messed up. I was scarred. I was wounded. But I came out the fight with a limp that declares to me that I'm no longer the same. I need all the different people. Shout, I'm different because I've been with God. I'm different because I've been with G. I'm different because I've been with the healer. I'm different because I've been with the might maker. I'm different because I've been with the truth and the light. I'm different. There's a song in the world that's called I'm Different. They wrote it before we prophesied it. Sometimes God will use the secular to prophesy the truth. I need a different people to lift their voices in the room and give God glory. I'm different. I'm different because I've been with G. I'm different because he paid my sin debt. I'm different because he defeated the forces of evil. I'm different because he's given me power and dominion over sin's control. I'm different and God's got me. So talk about me all you want. Pledge your lies. Spread your rumors. Talk about what you think is a disability. But I'm gonna limp my way all the way to the finish line because God got me. He got me covered in the name of Jesus. Somebody praise.
Everybody standing. Before when he was in the night, Jacob was wounded. When he came out limping, it represented that that wound had turned into a scar. Here's what I learned about wounds. When wounds don't scar up, they're not healed. There's only one person that still has wounds attached to his life. His name is Jesus. See, when you don't scar and you wounded, you're not healed. You can never be different if you don't heal. But Pastor North, how is it that Jesus got wounds and his wounds hasn't scarred up? Because his wounds represent receipts. Watch me. The Bible, you heard the scripture, people say that in the Bible, that Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And many people think that he's praying. No, he's not. Because his work he had on earth is finished. ED is done. Jesus is in the role of a high priest. And then when the work of a high priest was done, they sat down. Meaning a high priest rarely sat down because their work was never done. They had to continually make sacrifices. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, what he was letting the whole universe know is, I'm done. What I had to take care of is done. But now I have receipts to show what I did. Whenever you go to a store and you want to return something back, you have to show a what? A receipt. The Bible lets us know that Satan presents himself before God. It shows us in the life of Job. Satan came to present himself with the sons of God. Don't you know that Satan still presents himself before God about you? But there's a man that's sitting on the right hand of the Father. When Satan said, and guess what? Sometimes, and many times, Satan giving the real deal. God, they did this, they did that, they did that. They did, and you ain't going to do that. Jesus said, oh, I got receipts. God, no, we got receipts. This is what we did. This was the plan. That even if they did that, we're supposed to forgive them. We got receipts. And even if they mess up, we got receipts. I got receipts on their life that they've been bought with a price. I got receipts on their life that is blood all over them. Stop playing, because when you open up the book of our lives, what you're going to find out is there's pages of blood. The blood didn't cover me when I was saved. The blood been covering me since I've been in my mother's womb. When you open up, amen, from an embryo to a fetus, as blood, When I get to 1 year old, there's blood. When I get to two, there's blood. All the story of my life is dreaded with blood in it because it's the blood. I got a bloody life. Because it took a bloody life to save my life. And when I get to tripping, I got somebody that got receipts on my life. That says, God, even though they don't deserve it, we got receipts that they already been bought for. And I'm not giving them back. You think that you that bad that God is going to discard you? The devil is a liar. He's a liar. Come on, let's go through the track record of people, men and women that messed up in the Bible. Could none of you have done what David did? Y'all don't want to keep it real. David, he raped Bathsheba. How was she going to deny her king? He took advantage of his title. Y'all don't want to talk about it. He took advantage. She couldn't deny. You know why? She was scared because she didn't know she was going to lose her life. Kind of sound like some of these preachers around here in America, huh? They take advantage of their authority. And got a lot of women messed up in their head. Yeah, and a lot of young boys. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100. How was she? He raped her. She couldn't deny him, no. So he took advantage of his position. He raped her. And then guess what he did? Because he couldn't cover up the pregnancy. This is a real soap opera for you. He couldn't cover up the pregnancy. He pulled her husband from the battle. He got him drunk. The husband was so committed to the cause, he would not go home and lay with his wife. He slept outside his own house. David said, I couldn't get him there. So he sent him back. Sent him back with a death list on him. Sent it to his day one, Joab. And say, Joab, put him in the heat of the battle. So now, David, if he was in our time, Joab, he's going to get locked up too. He's just as guilty as David. Joab, they put him in there. Uriah dies. David murders a man. He had set him up to be murdered. He lost a life. And we looking like God ain't going to forgive us. You know what God called this man? And guess what? After that, the sword hit his house. His son raped his daughter. The other son killed the son that raped the daughter. David lost his throne to his son Absalom. And everybody want to talk about the spirit of Absalom, but nobody wants to deal with a terrible father like David. Absalom was jacked up because he had a terrible father. But everybody want to blame the young man Absalom. No, Absalom was Absalom because of the decision of his father. And all of that, this is what God said about David. He's a man after my own heart. You think you messed up that bad? That God will reject you because you're a little dirty? Jesus said, I got receipts. You ain't did that bad to where I'm going to leave you alone. They might quit on you. They might leave you. They might call you the black sheep. But I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am committed to bringing the different version of you out of you. No matter how long it takes. Because I love you. Hear the word of God. This is the Lord. I love you. You are not that bad. That's what they say. That's not what I say. That's what they think. That's not what I think. Stop being consumed by the thoughts of man. Should you care? Yes, you should. But stop allowing yourself to be consumed by the thoughts of the thoughts of man that try to form the reality of who you are. God says, I love you. I love you. And the attribute of me, I'm long-suffering, which means I'm patient to the cause. They want you to get together quick. I'm going to work out with you. I'm going to work it with you, baby. That you're not getting better in enough time for them, but you all right with me. Hope is in the room. I don't know who this is for right now. They want you to tighten up quick. God says, but I got you. Because here's the problem, Pastor. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. We want people to behave right, instead of teaching them how to believe right. See, we are bent on rules and regulations. People around here going to hell because they following rules and regulations and their heart off is far from God. But if I believe right, if I believe right, my belief will adapt into my conduct. If we teach people how to believe right, eventually they'll learn how to behave right. God wants us to learn how to believe right. The Bible says this right here, that Abraham believed God. And God accounted to him or imputed to him or credited him to be righteous. It was his belief that made him right, not his behavior that made him right. When I believe right, the fruit of righteousness sprouts out of me. But I have to believe right. Who am I talking about? You got to believe in who Jesus is and what he's done for you. But somewhere down the line in the United States of America, we want people to act it and not be it. Kirk Franklin said, without him, we're just actors on the stage. I don't want to be a perpetrator. I want to keep it real. There's no secrets between me and God anyway. He knows it all. He knows it all. There's no secrets. He knows it all. So why am I trying to fake the funk with him anyway? He knows. No, we try to do it with each other. I'm going to say this too right here. Secrets will keep you in bondage. Every adult in the room, we don't live in the time we used to live in no more. You can't tell y'all that. Don't say what's going on in this house. These children are telling. Ain't no more. Don't tell what's going on. No, they telling. And they need to tell that uncle don't touch them. They need to. That the aunt don't touch. They need to tell. A lot of adults are living with emotional wounds because you was told not to tell. And now you trapped in trauma in your life. When you should have told somebody you was getting touched. You need these kids to tell and not. It ain't no do as I say and not as I do. No, these kids want to know why. Why are you telling me I can't do that? And I'm glad they asking the questions. It's making parents accountable. If it's going to be different you, you got to die to the old you. Today is your day of death. But if God is going to give you a public crucifixion, then he's going to give you a public resurrection. Yeah, you gotta die. You gotta die. The old you and the new you can't exist together. Somebody got to die. Somebody gotta go. So if the new you gonna rise to the cream of the crop, then the old you got to die. Jesus got low to get high. Real fame came for Jesus when he died. Because the Bible says that now, we thought he was something else, but the Bible says now he's been given a name that's above every name. This happened after death, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and tongue confess that he is Lord. That came after he died. So if you want to be exalted to the new version of you, you got to die to the old. Those hands in the room. Love you, yeah. Oh, I really love the Lord. Can we all sing it in the room? Come on, those hands are lifted. Come on, say I really love. It only matters when you sing it. Come on, all in the room. Come on, all in the room. Those hands are lifted. Put your voice and say. You need to remind the devil this right here. Because you don't know.
You don't know what he's done for me.
I'm standing today in the face of everything because he gave me
the victory.
Lift your voice in the room and say, I love. Remind the devil that he gave me. There's a different me today because of the love of Jesus. I love him, yeah. I love him. Say, I really love. Really love. Come on, one more time, people of God. I want you to scream into the rooftops. I want you to scream into the rooftops. Come on, remind yourself, remind the enemy. You don't know. That these hands are lifted in the room. As the wave of glory has entered in, God. God, I thank you today, God, that you have swept this sanctuary. You're dealing with the emotional wounds of our humanity. And God, we cannot properly walk in the version of who you called us to be if we don't heal properly. If wounds are not covered properly, then we'll continue to bleed out on people. But God, I pray right now, God, that you come in, God, into the lives of these great men and women, God. God, and that you enter into, God, the fragments and the ligaments of their heart. And you begin to attach every ligament back together, God. God, that was broken, God. God, heal the wounds, oh God, that parents created. Heal the wounds that spouses created. Heal the wounds that siblings created. Heal the wounds, oh God, that friends created, God. God, we need to be healed because we can never effectively be who you called us to be, God, if we don't heal properly. Father, we thank you, God. Now, God, we make an announcement, God, that today we die to what we used to be. Hey, today we die to what we used to be. We make a proclamation, oh God. We make an announcement in the face of the universe that we're not what we used to be. And it's not by feeling, but it's by faith. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not that anymore. But I've come into a new person. I've come into a new me. Any man in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are go new. God, as those hands are lifted in the room today, that is a sign of surrender. That God, we are bowing out. We come under arrest to the Spirit of God. We come under arrest, oh God, to what we was. Now, Father, God, we thank you that you have handcuffed the old man, that you have destroyed what we was, and now we have been introduced to a new version of who we are. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus that we are emotionally free, God, that we are physically free, God, we are spiritually free, God, because of the blood of Jesus. We thank you, God, right now for the work you have done on our behalf, and we will never cease to give you the praise. Every voice in the room shall say, I'm free. The different me is free. Come on, say it. Say, the different me is free. The different me is free. In the name of Jesus. Now put those hands together and shout, Jesus. Everybody point their hands towards the pastor as we close. He don't know this, but it's a song we sing at our church. And it says this, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. 'Cause you hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. 'Cause nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. One more time. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. 'Cause nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Just play softly, put your hands this way. As I came in the office and I sat down and you was conversing with one of the brothers, I heard the Lord says to let them know that with me all things are possible. And let them know that he's seen the fruit of that in his own reality. But God says, I am about to reveal to you a different version of not who you are. A different version of not just who you are, but a different version of who he is. Yeah. So I'm about to reveal to you a different version of who I am. And you are about to see the fruit of the possibilities in me. This is the words of Jesus. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Which means when reality is telling you you can't, let faith ring loud and say you can. Reality will paint a picture for us, Pastor. It will paint a picture that says it's impossible. But faith says it's possible. Don't you know in the book of Hebrews, when we go through the Hall of Fame of Faith, that God did not list one of those people's failures. The only thing that he magnified was the faith of those people. Are we perfect? No. But you know what God is excited about today in your 14 years? Is that you have remained faithful. Today, we celebrate the faithfulness of Pastor and Pastor Lyons. Because we could have quit. We could have thrown the towel. We could have gave up. My marriage is more important than this. My children are more important than this. I could have quit a long time ago. There's other things that I can do. But God, you called me to this. And my faith in you is bigger than what I see on this side. When they said we couldn't, we did. When they said we shouldn't, we did. Why? Because God said do it. And I don't care what the reality is said. This is for the next 14 and next 14. God said continue to stand in me. And what I heard the Lord say in the office is I'm bringing expansion. I'm bringing expansion. I am about to expand you in ways you've never seen. I'm about to blow something inside of you that is going to expand you. That's new life coming in. That's new life. And with new life, there's new revelation. That's new revelation. You thought you preached before. You thought you had worked before. But what God is about to blow on the inside of you guys, there's new revelation that's coming for the journey that's ahead. For the journey that's ahead. What the show is, we completed this task, but now there's more to do. We slayed giants, but there's more to slay. We conquered land, but there's more land to conquer. And I got to put something on the inside of you to elevate you and say that, dope. I know I killed that giant, but that one looks a little more scary and bigger. But guess what? That's reality. Faith says he can die. What did Caleb and Joshua say? We can't go get it. What did the others say? No, we can't, but they said we can. Don't matter what the others are saying. What are we saying? What do we see together? What are we? Because it's not a you, it's not a you, it's a us. What do we see together? We see we can win it. We see we can possess it. We see we can take it. That's why God says, sing this song to him. Sing that song. That nothing is impossible for you.
nothing is impossible.
That's right. Sing over your pastor. Sing over your pastor. Come on, yeah.
Nothing is impossible.
Sing over. Come on, y'all, come up front. Come on, come on, walk up here. Come on, come on, y'all, sing over.
Hold my world in your hands.
Come on, sing over your people. Nothing is.
Nothing is impossible for you.
Come on, people of unity, come love on your leaders. Come on, keep singing that. Come love on them. Come on, let your pastor know you're with them. Come on, let them know you're with them. Nothing.
Nothing is impossible.
Come on, love on your pastor. Love on them.